You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined once again by Jason Beck. And Beck, the Tigers dropped a series at home against the Royals. And I'd say the big development, really, though, in the last week was Alex Avila going to the DL. We know how important he is to their overall picture. And what's your sense of that situation and James McCann's, you know, readiness for the regular duties, basically?
Well, I mean, you know, this is I think a bigger blow than some people would predict. Avila means so much for that pitching staff there. And while the average has been down again for him overall, his on-base percentage has been pretty good. And against right-handed pitchers, I think it was close to 400. So, I mean, he was at least giving you base runners from bottom of the order to move around. I think the bigger impact on the pitching staff, I think pitchers will attest to what he means there. The good news for them is that McCann has already built a pretty good reputation as far as handling the pitching staff, but he doesn't have quite the same experience or really nearly the same experience. He might give you a little bit more offensively, but it's going to be a nice test for him off the bat, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, I could certainly envision this as kind of an evaluation stretch for the Tigers to see what they have for the long term and kind of see where James McCann fits in the picture beyond this year. He's been getting a lot of hype the last couple of years as a fast-rising catching prospect and a guy who could really be a two-way force back there potentially. But he hasn't really gotten a shot to get anywhere close to everyday play at the major league level. I mean, he's pretty much going to have it now.
Yeah, this really speeds up the timetable there, because it seemed like we were trending towards this sort of situation for 2016, McCann behind the plate and Avila entering free agency. But, this knee thing, I'm with you, Beck. It doesn't get, probably outside Detroit, not getting a ton of attention, but it struck me as a pretty major development for this club.
It was surprising in that he hasn't had major problems, with the knee. It's for somebody who's cut as much as he has, his knees have stayed relatively healthy. So, it kind of came out of the blue. And in fact, the night before, he had been scratched with a bruised right forearm from a foul tip he had taken in Chicago.
Yeah, usually Avila's injuries are that sort of. I mean, I hate to laugh, but it's been that sort of thing. A lot of nicks and bruises, and obviously the concussion issues over the years. So the knee is a new one for him. But the Tigers definitely dodged a bullet with David Price. He's talking about injuries that happened behind the plate. He steps on that bat, backing up the plate, and has the hamstring injury. But that was one of those that looked a lot worse than it ended up. His start gets pushed back a couple of days, but boy, that would have been a really tough blow to lose Price for any stretch, especially in that manner.
Yeah, I mean, they've been fortunate for, really since the start of the season, how well Kyle Lobstein has pitched in Justin Verlander's spot. If they had had to go to the farm system once again to replace a guy like Price, replacing two frontline starters, I know the debate on Verlander's effectiveness and whether it counts as frontline contributions will rage among some. But, I mean, I think you still have to consider him a frontline starter. To lose two guys like that and have to replace them from within, I think would have been an awful lot for this rotation to try to weather, especially the way that Sanchez has been up and down. I think that would have placed an awful lot of pressure on guys like Shane Green, Simon, Lobstein, and presumably Buck Farmer would have been the logical replacement for David Price. And I think they really lucked out here that it wasn't worse. I was surprised that they looked at it as him being able to make that next start, just being a question of whether it would be Thursday or Saturday. And it really gives them a better matchup Saturday against the Cardinals. You put your frontline starter against a pretty tough team, with all due respect to, the run that the Twins are on. I think they'd rather have Price in an environment like that. And the one risk is having him pick up the bat, You just have him put the ball in play in a situation where he's got to at least try to run.
Yeah, that is a real worry. And more reason why the DH should be universal. But that's another topic for another time, Beck. Verlander, you mentioned him, and you know last week they had a real ominous feel to it when you get word that the Tigers have the MRI results, but they're not discussing them yet. That didn't sound good. And then the next day, of course, the news comes out that he gets the green light to start long tossing. So I don't know how your mind was churning at that point where, you know, that 12 hours or so where we were waiting on the news. But obviously it turned out pretty good news for Verlander and for the Tigers here going forward.
Yeah, I mean, when you first heard that they were holding off on the results until they could get word from all the doctors, you kind of thought, well, if are they holding off to have all the doctors give them good news, or are they holding off to see if any bad news is real? And then you try to read into Justin Verlander's poker face and, you know, what type of answers he's giving and everything. And it was really a mind game. And thank goodness Justin Verlander is a widely popular Twitter account, so he could tweet to Mike the next morning and give us an indication that at least he felt like he was good to go 3 or 4 hours before the Tigers gave the official go-ahead.
Also had some fun with his Instagram haters, as he said, posting a picture of him doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what people expect of an athlete. Yeah, they expect them to have, you know, zero life outside of whatever's going on at that particular moment. So I thought he handled that pretty well.
It's never boring covering Justin.
So. He keeps it interesting. And it's never boring covering the Tigers' bullpen either. How's that for a transition? last week, the eighth inning against the White Sox was, frankly, that was the bullpen some of us thought you might see more of in the early going here. Overall, they've survived. But it is interesting to me. I was looking up some numbers, and the bullpen's only generating swings and misses and like 20% of swings against them. It's not the lockdown bullpen, let's face it. It's not the lockdown bullpen that you'd like to have. To me, that's the big difference in this AL Central race right now is, you know, this Royals team just trots out arm after arm after arm in that bullpen. What's your overall read on how Detroit has fared in from a relief standpoint and kind of where things might trend there?
Ironic that the Royals weather, you know, losing Kelvin Herrera for a little while by filling in with Ryan Madsen, a guy who was looking for a job, you know, not too long ago, and a guy who the Tigers had watched try out back in 2014, but he wasn't quite ready yet. Otherwise, he might have been the guy the Tigers had signed rather than Joel Hanrahan. It's weird how those things work out. I think there's a few factors at play in the lack of swings and misses. One, Team Soria's swing and miss rate seems to be, you know, relatively low, you know, even compared with recent years. I think he's getting more poor contact than he is strikeouts. I think not having Bruce Rondon is a major difference as well. And third, I think that Al Albuquerque not being right really has an overall effect on this bullpen. You know, he had the sinus infection, and that was something we followed for a week or so. But then even since he's come back, you know, he hasn't been the same swing and miss guy. The slider hasn't had the same bite to it. I think for as much as has been made of the velocity on the fastball, I think the slider has to be the bigger worry for these guys. It's something that, yeah, talking with Albuquerque the other day, that, you know, him and Jeff Jones have been working on not necessarily anything mechanical, but just getting everything in place again and getting a mix going again where, you know, he can get back into form. Because, you know, even if you don't necessarily have a set role for him, you know, being able to throw him into a situation where you need a strikeout and having some reasonable faith that he gives you a decent shot at one, I think is is a huge benefit for a manager like Brad Ausmus trying to juggle this bullpen, and he doesn't have it right now. And there's really nobody he can turn to in a similar situation. Angel Nesbitt, for as well as he's throwing, is more of a spot the fastball guy and try to throw strikes right now than he is a hard power throwing strikeout guy, because he just, you know, as young as he is, he doesn't have that command quite yet. So the pieces there just, they aren't fitting as well as you'd like them to right now. And while overall, you know, I think Ausmus has done an underrated job making things work, you know, I think, you know, he needs some guys to step up in better fashion than they have so far, if it's going to work over long term.
One last thing, Beck. It's like this Tigers team has not had they either have one Martinez or the other going at any given moment. Victor's starting to improve from the left-hand side. That's been good to see. But J.D. Martinez, he struck out in nearly half his plate appearances the last 2 weeks. What do you think's going on with him?
Yeah, it's funny. He had I think it was 0 for 24, 0 for 25. He breaks out of it. But in the midst of that 0 for 25, he was drawing more walks than he usually did. So it was hard to say whether he was seeing the ball poorly or whether he was just chasing pitches. It did seem like he was chasing pitches off the plate, you know, with regularity. He seems to have gotten away from that now and gotten back into a more disciplined strike zone. And I think that's part of the reason why he's drawing more walks, because teams haven't necessarily adjusted their scouting reports yet, but he still hasn't had quite the same contact. And I don't know if it's necessarily mechanical. You hear mixed answers on that, or if it's just whether he's tracking the ball the same way. But they need to get him going again, because they need to stretch out that middle of the order more. And you know, you're seeing more encouraging swings from Victor Martinez, and, you know, especially from the left side. And that's good. And it's certainly going to help them in the long run, even if it's not necessarily for power. But I think they still need an awful lot from those 5 and 6 spots if they're going to make this work.
Definitely. Yeah, the Tigers have not been quite as dynamic offensively the last couple of weeks as they were earlier in the year. And dynamic division race going on with the Kansas City Royals. So I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us to talk about all that. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.